The last couple of times we have talked about the Lord's Prayer, we have been looking at forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And I said before that this is probably the hardest part of this prayer, and yet it's the part that Jesus emphasizes most by how he says it. It's linked to our personal responsibility for giving others, and then he follows it up with our memory verse from last month, that if we forgive others, then we will be forgiven. It's so important that that we understand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is very, 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 very serious about forgiving others because life is all about relationships. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so forgiveness is a part of that personal relationship, and unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, grudges is what destroys relationships and keeps us from experiencing the life God wants us to have. Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Because it's about relationship. And Jesus is serious. And so we need to be very clear. And I want to emphasize this, and if you are willing to forgive others, then God has forgiven you. It's not that we earn God's forgiveness by forgiving. It's that our willingness to forgive is evidence that we have been forgiven. So look at me. If you are unwilling to forgive someone in your life, you are not forgiven, you are not in relationship with God, and you are not going to heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. That's how important this is. Now, what he's not saying is you have to instantly forgive and forget. What he's saying is your willingness, your desire, your asking God to help you, you're working at forgiving someone, that's an indication that you have been forgiven. But if there's anyone in your life where you say, God, I am not forgiving that person. I refuse. They hurt me. I'm done with them. And I will not. You are not a follower of Christ and you are not going to heaven. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I just don't want you to miss what God has for you. Because this is one of the hardest things in our lives to do, is to forgive those who have hurt us. And so that bullet point there says we are required to forgive others. We are required to forgive others. It is evidence that we are forgiven. We are required to forgive others. It's not easy, and it's often not instantaneous. Wouldn't it be great if it could be as easy as like with Jaden, all you have to do is untie the cardboard and it's done? But it's not, as we'll look at in a moment. Now, here's the problem. We tend to give others, ourselves and others, a pass when it comes to difficult scriptures and difficult situations like this. And what I mean by that is there are things in most people's lives that are deep, deep, deep hurts. They are hurts that go to the core. They are hurts that determine the trajectory of lives. They are hurts that we live with, that we're triggered by. There are deep, deep hurts in most people's lives. We have been hurt. And because those are so deep and those strong, we have this tendency as human beings, because that hurt is so strong, to give ourselves a pass or other people a pass and saying, well, you know, that is really hard. That is really tough. And I can understand how you can't forgive that person. And we hold on to it and we put it in nice Christianese kind of language. But the truth is we are refusing to obey God and we are denying his power to forgive through us. So that's how serious this whole issue is. And I want you to walk away from this message understanding that you can't have a pass on forgiving other people. And oftentimes it's not about you. It's not about you. I've told you that some of the stories about my dad and how he was emotionally abusive and put me down and just, it was awful, awful, awful. the whole time I was growing up. Fast forward, later on, and after he passed away. So I put up with that all the time I was home. I put up with some when I would go back and visit. And then finally, when he was 76 years old, he accepted Christ as Savior, which didn't transform everything, and it didn't take away the hurt that I had experienced. A number of years later, about 8 years later, he passed away, and I was praying after he had died. And I said, God, why did I have to go through all that? Why did I have to go through all that? Why did I have to endure all of that? And very clearly, I heard God say, it wasn't about you. Your dad needed someone who would exemplify Jesus with integrity for all of those years so that he could come to me. You see, all that time when I thought it was about me, all those times when I was angry and frustrated and praying that he wouldn't come back home, it wasn't about me. And now look at me. Oftentimes, the hurt is not about you. The devil wants you to hold on to that hurt, not forgive, not let it go, because he wants to use you in somebody else's life. Might not be that person, might be somebody else. But when we hold on to unforgiveness and anger and bitterness, it taints us. It makes us unappealing. It makes us ugly internally. And it taints our ability to see others, not just that person. So oftentimes it's not about you, and God will give you the ability to set you free, because that word, the title of this message, Living Unchained, chained is really one of the best descriptions when you have not forgiven someone, because you are chained. It hurts you more than it hurts anybody else, and God wants what's best for us. So when he says you have to forgive, he's serious about it, because he wants what's best for us, and we don't get a pass, and this scripture comes into play. Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, what God's will is that we forgive everyone. And so he says, it's not the people who look good, the people who smell good and talk good and do all the Christian things. It's not the people that look good. It's the people who do what God tells them to do. And one of the things he tells us is to forgive. He says, on that day, many will come to me, say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I've met some people in high ministry positions who have anger in their hearts. They are holding on to hurt, and it doesn't matter how good they prophesy, how good they preach, or what kind of influence they have. If they do not forgive, this is what Jesus says. I will declare to them, I never knew you. It's about relationships. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We have to forgive. He says we have to forgive. And if we refuse to forgive on that day, Jesus will say, I never knew you, because you were not obeying me. You were not forgiving as I told you to forgive. We cannot give people a pass. And so when I come to you and I'm whining about something and fussing about something, and don't pat me on the back. Oh, well, yeah, at the beginning, pat me on the back. Let me cry a little bit, and then say to me, okay, now what do we need to do to help you forgive? Don't give me a pass, and don't give yourself a pass. Figure out what is the next step. And that's what we want to talk about. How do we forgive? Because it can be one of the hardest things in your life. Three actions that will lead us. And the first two we covered a couple of weeks ago, so we're going to fly through these. I just want to put it here so that you have it. If you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, it's on the CD on the 12th, on August the 12th. You can look at that, listen to that. I encourage you, even if you were here, to listen to it again, because it'll be a good review for you. Number one, we need to ditch the myths about forgiveness. We need to get rid of the wrong ideas of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. We think of feelings as the most valid thing. It's not a feeling. Forgiveness is not pretending that it didn't happen. It's not just ignoring it and acting like there's nothing there. If somebody comes in the room and they've hurt us really badly and they start to hurt us again, we don't pretend that it didn't happen. We deal with it. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgive and forget. If you ever hear anybody say that, it's not true. That's just not true. You can't forget. You can let go of it, but you can't forget it. So it's not forgiving and forgetting. Forgiveness is not condoning or excusing a wrong. One of the struggles that we have with forgiveness is we think if we just let it go, if we don't hold on to the hurt, if we don't make them pay in some way, then we're condoning and saying that what they did was okay, that it was all right. And that's not what we're saying at all. That's a lie. Forgiveness is not reconciling. Reconciling is a different issue. The hope is that we would reconcile, but sometimes the person has passed away. You can't reconcile. Sometimes the other person will not allow you to reconcile. Sometimes the hurt is so deep that you can forgive, but to rebuild the relationship would take a whole lot more work, and sometimes it's not possible. Forgiveness is not based on the wrongdoer's apology. Just because we can't sit back and wait for that person to say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." We need to forgive as soon as possible, whether they ask for forgiveness or not. It's not societal justice. Forgiveness is not societal justice. Justice is a whole different issue. Sometimes people still need to pay the consequences for what they've done. But that's another issue from forgiveness. Forgiveness is letting go. Forgiveness is not trust. And here's one of the places where people get hung up. They think, well, if I forgive someone, that means I have to trust them. And a lot of times the offending person will say, just let it go. Or they'll say, well, you should trust me. You should, you know, let's just move on and let's pick up where we were. No, trust is earned. Forgiveness is freely given. And so it is not putting your full trust. If someone hurts you, you don't put yourself in that place to be hurt again automatically. That's trust. And then I put it again, forgiveness is not a feeling, because it's so important that we understand that it's not a feeling. August 12th, we did a little role play, if you remember, if you were here, set four chairs up here as if it was a car, and we had Jesus, we had the will, we had feelings, and feelings junior. And if you weren't here, you really missed it. And the whole point of that was somebody's in the driver's seat of your life determining where you're going, where you're headed, where you're going to land, and it can't be your feelings. Feelings need to be put in the back seat, because when feelings are in the back seat, when they're put in their proper place, they're wonderful to have around. But we need Jesus in the driver's seat, and we need ourselves in the passenger seat saying, Jesus, you take us where we need to go. You do what needs to be done. So it's not about feelings. So ditch the myths. Number two, uncover the truths about forgiveness. When we touched on some of these, we'll go a little bit deeper. First truth is that God offers to freely forgive us. God offers to freely forgive us. And that's important because we then are responsible to forgive as we've been forgiven. And God offers to freely, without cost, to forgive us. A young nun once claimed to have had a vision of Jesus. Her bishop decided to test her truthfulness and ordered that the next time she had a vision, she should ask Christ what the bishop's primary sin had been before he became a bishop. That's walking out on a limb, isn't it? Some months later, the nun returned. The bishop asked if she had asked Christ the question, to which she affirmed that she had. And what did he say? The bishop asked, apprehensively. Christ said, and the nun paused for a moment. He said, I don't remember. Because God not only forgives, he forgets. How did God forgive? He forgave us completely. And he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. He buries it in the deepest part of the sea. We talked about that both on August 5th and August 12th. He pardons our sin. That's one of the bullet points there. He pardons us. That is, he cancels our debt. So when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins. He paid the penalty, the guilt of our sins, so that we are no longer considered guilty. And just, you know, just like in that little story, if we ask, okay, God, what was my worst sin? He'll say, It's not on my radar anymore. I see you through Christ. He cancels our debt. He removes our guilt. He gives us mercy. What we do not he does not give us what we deserve. He does not punish us as we deserve. That's mercy. And then grace. Grace. He gives us what we do not deserve. That is his favorite. A favored position. His favored position. So that's how God forgives us. And what we're going to see is that's how we have to forgive. Galatians 4, 6, and 7 says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We are in this intimate relationship with God, this intimacy of grace. He gives us what we do not deserve. So he offers to forgive us our sins. The next truth is that to forgive is a choice, not a feeling. To forgive is a choice, it's not a feeling. I talked about this before, but if you're saying, Herb, you're harping on it, you're right. Because we live in a culture where feelings drive us. And especially in this whole thing of relationships, sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, I just don't feel like I'm in love anymore. Well, when you stood there on that, you said, I do. It didn't say, I do until I don't feel like it anymore. It's a commitment. It's not feelings. You know, okay, those of you who, let me see your hands if you still have kids at home. Here's a secret. There are going to be days when you don't feel like being a parent anymore. You older people want to say amen? There are days when you're going to question your sanity for even bringing these children into the world. What was I thinking? And yet, you don't get to walk away. Because it's not about feelings. It's about commitments. When the feelings are in the back seat, they're wonderful to have around once in a while. But they cannot drive our lives. Everything God commands us, we are able to obey. Because sometimes people look at these scriptures that talk about you have to forgive, and they kind of set it aside. They wouldn't say it out loud. They wouldn't tear those scriptures out of their Bible. But they say, you know, there are some things I can't do. And you would be right in saying that, except that it's not you. It's God working through you that allows you to forgive. So everything God tells us to do, we can't obey. I put this picture up last time, and I really like it. Just because you're mad at someone doesn't mean you stop loving them. You may not want to look at them, but you still hold the umbrella to help keep the rain off of them. And just because someone has hurt you doesn't mean you don't forgive them. Forgiveness. God requires that we forgive. So we come to our memory verse for this month, because to not forgive is to give in to the temptation of holding the hurt, holding the anger, holding the bitterness, and saying, I'm not going to obey God. But here's what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, you will never be tempted to not forgive someone in a way that others have not already experienced. In fact, Jesus experienced it. Do you think he wanted, do you think he felt like forgiving people when he's hanging on the cross? No. But he forgave because the power of the Holy Spirit gave him the ability. So you're going through it. But God is faithful. I mean, he's always there and he will always provide. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. You will look at me. You will never face any temptation. You will never have to forgive anyone that you don't have the ability in the power of the Holy Spirit to obey. You will never face a temptation that's too strong for you. You'll never face a temptation that you can say, oh, that's just too much. I can't do it. No, God will never put you in a position where he won't also give you this. With the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. There will always be a way for you to forgive. There will always be a way for you to obey. Everything God commands, he makes possible. So if there's anyone in your life that you're struggling to forgive, that you've refused to forgive, God will give you the ability. But you have to forgive or you won't belong to Him. It helps to remember that we have hurt others and that Christ has forgiven us. One of the ways to begin the forgiveness process is to pause for a moment and reflect back on the people that we've hurt. Hey, anybody here has never hurt another person? If you raise your hand, I want to hit you. Except for Nick. We've all hurt people. And what we try to do is, I think subconsciously, we try to set that aside, put a partition up so that we don't think about how badly we've hurt people in our lives. Because we don't want to think about that. It hurts when we think about hurting other people. But it helps to reflect on that and remember how we've hurt others. But it also helps us to remember that Jesus hung on the cross because of our sin. That we hurt Him that bad. And in that humility, it helps us to think about forgiving other people. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. We forget what we did. We're quick to ignore our mistakes and see other people's mistakes and hurt and harm to us as big mountains. I read this somewhere. When you get angry, it's because you're ill-tempered. When I get angry, it just happens that my nerves are bothering me. When you don't like someone, it's because you're prejudiced. When I don't like someone, I'm just a good judge of human character. When you compliment people, it's because you use flattery to get your way. When I compliment people, I'm just sincerely encouraging them. When you take a long time to do a job because you're unbearably slow and pokey, but when I take a long time, it's because I believe in quality workmanship. When you spend your paycheck in 24 hours, it's because you're a spendthrift, but when I do, it's because I'm generous. When you stay in bed until 11 a.m., it's because you're a lazy good-for-nothing. When I stay in bed a little longer, it's because I'm totally exhausted. You see how that works? We need to consider what we have done, how we've hurt others. Next truth, to forgive others is a process. To forgive others is a process. Remember, one of the myths is it's easy, it's simple, it's a one-time experience. But the truth is, in most cases, forgiveness is a process. And that's why I say it's not that you have to have already taken care of this and forgiven the other person. It's that you need to be on the road to forgiveness. You need to be working at it. Because oftentimes it takes a long time. Ephesians chapter 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Circle that word, forgiving. Forgiving. Because it has that ing on it, it means it's an ongoing process. As Christ, God in Christ, forgave you. It indicates this ongoing action, this process. So what does it look like? Here are four pictures taken from Beginning the Journey. It's a discipleship booklet by Ralph Naber where he talks about forgiveness. Here's the process of what happens in what needs to happen. Step one is that the offense of another person produces hurt to the offended. Somebody does something that hurts you. And in every case, it's not something like, you know, it's not something small. Because if it's something small, you don't hold on to it. You don't hold on to the hurt. But when you're offended, when you are hurt, the offense of that other person just grabs your soul. It does something within you that creates anger and frustration and a desire for them to feel bad and a desire for them to be hurt. It's not just this flippant kind of thing where you bump into somebody in the hallway and you say, I'm sorry. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a true hurt. And when we've been offended, so the other person hurts us, And as a result, this chain becomes attached from me to that other person. The hurt stays. Your heart holds on to it. It doesn't slide off. So then step number two is that the offended, when somebody hurts us, when we're offended, we're bound to that offender by holding on to the hurt. That's a grudge. So we hold on to the hurt. The grudge toward the offender links us to that other person so that we want them to feel bad. We want them to hurt. We want them to something bad to happen to them because we have been hurt. And it says the bondage that the offended experiences can never be broken no matter how much the distance is put between them. Sometimes people try to deal with that hurt, those grudges, by just moving away. Create some distance. Does that solve anything? No, because it's not geographical. It's spiritual and emotional. No matter how far away you get from them. The only solution is forgiveness. The only way to release yourself from this is forgiveness. The offender should ask to be forgiven, but may never do so. Therefore, who has to initiate the forgiveness? The offended person. Don't ever, look at me, don't ever wait for somebody to ask to be forgiven. Because in the time that you're asking, you're just feeding that hurt. You're just feeding it. You're thinking about it. You're grabbing onto it. You're holding onto it because you're waiting for them. And chances are, I don't know what the percentages are, but a lot of times nobody's ever going to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes they don't even know that they hurt you. And other times they don't care. And you're the one that's being hurt. You hold on the grudge, you hold on the grudge, you hold on the grudge. The only person it is hurting is you. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm never going to talk to them. I'm going to show them. And they're going, I don't even know you exist. I don't even care that you don't talk to me. So step two is that we get bound. And that's what a grudge does. That's what this bitterness does. So when Jesus tells us to forgive, it's for our own good as well as for others. Step number three, then, is the grudge can only be removed by the offended person by forgiving the offender, whether the offender requests it or not. The grudge can only be removed by the offended person. That means when you've been hurt, you're the only one that can remove it. There are times when we might hurt somebody else and we apologize and we ask for forgiveness and they won't give it. Because their unforgiveness is intact because they're the only one that can let it go. They're the only one that can break the bondage between us. We have to forgive. That's the only way that it happens. Now, that's not fair. Is it? It's not. It's not fair. Why should I have to forgive without the other person apologize? In a fair world, that other person would always apologize and make it right. But life's not fair. Yeah, I wish I had a dime for every time I said that when my kids were growing up. Life's not fair. We need to get over that. Life's not fair. But for you to obey means that you have to let it go. Now, here comes the most important part. Because there are some things that you are not able to forgive somebody else unless you do this. Number four, the offended person then gives the hurt and the offender to God. We have to give it to God. If you try to just let it go, it just keeps coming back. The chain keeps wrapping around your neck all over again. We have to give it to God. Because one of our struggles is we think the person gets away with it. And that's not fair. And so we don't want to forgive. But when we give it to God, He will make sure justice happens. In our readings, if you've been reading through, using the devotional book to do your devotional reading, you came to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where that talks about God will take care of those who afflict you. If you are persecuted for your faith, if somebody hurts you in whatever way, God will eventually bring justice. He will bring justice. The famous English preacher Charles Spurgeon, talking about letting go of the hurt and forgiving, says, "When you bury a mad dog, don't leave his tail above the ground." You know what he's saying is, don't forgive 90% of the way. Let it go. Give it to God and let him heal. Let him provide all that you need to let it go. And so that's the process of forgiving as God has forgiven. Pardon, we cancel the debt. Mercy, we don't give people what they deserve. We let go of the right to punish. And grace, we give others what they do not deserve. So here's the bigger part. Not only do you let it go and you give it to God, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Which makes sense, which is fair, right? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. That's grace. That's giving people what they do not deserve. Because it's not about you. It may be that the devil has arranged it so that you got hurt by that person because God wants that person to see Christ in you and come to know Christ as Savior and change his eternal destiny. We need to remember, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about us. No longer treating the other person badly. No longer doing this passive-aggressive things where we give them the cold shoulder or we hold back good from that other person, but rather praying for those who have hurt us. A woman testified to the transformation in her life that had resulted from her experience of finding a relationship with Christ. And she declared, "I'm so glad I got religion. I have an uncle that I used to hate so much, I vowed I would never go to his funeral. But now, I'd be happy to go to his funeral anytime." I don't think that came out like she was thinking. But sometimes that's the way we act. We act as if we've forgiven, but we really haven't. Number three, the third action is to choose forgiveness as a lifestyle. Choose forgiveness as a lifestyle. We get hung up when we hold on to hurt, and we've held on to it for a while because it festers like an open wound. And the longer you hold on to hurt, you hold on to grudge, you hold on to bitterness, the worse and worse it gets, and the harder and harder it is to remove. You let a tumor grow, and the tentacles come out from that tumor. The longer you leave it there, the harder it is for the surgeon to remove it. And the longer you let bitterness go, the longer you hold on to a grudge, the harder it will be to let go. So we need to get into this lifestyle of, as soon as somebody hurts me, forgive. Just forgive. Just let it go. Forgive. Give it to God. Let it go. Let it go. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it shouldn't be what we do. It doesn't mean it shouldn't be our lifestyle. Mark Merrill says, "Forgiveness is a decision. When you really forgive someone, you're making a decision to release and then embrace and pardon and grow. Forgiveness is not about changing the past, it's about changing the future." Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." It's an ongoing way of life. Knowing that, look at me one more time. If you have any friends, and some of you, you look around, I'm not sure, you're going to be hurt again. The closer the friends you have, the deeper the hurt you'll experience. Because we live in an imperfect world. But God will, if you will allow him, if you will build into your life this forgiveness as a lifestyle, and you let it go, he will turn those times around of being hurt into something that can build your relationship even stronger. You're going to be hurt. Make it a habit just to let go of the hurt. Go to the person if you need to. Whatever you need to do, but do it quickly. One of the reasons the church in America today has a bad reputation is because church people fight with each other and don't really care. And as they, and so I talk to people, I don't want to be a part of a church. Those, you know, these people just fight and fuss with each other and they're angry at each other and they hurt each other. And the truth is we will hurt each other. But we need to have this lifestyle of forgiving so quickly that because we care about each other, we love each other, and we're going to make it work. God needs us to be these kind of people so that others can see the true Christ. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as God loved us and gave himself up for us. During a children's sermon one Sunday morning, and it wasn't me, for those of you that have been around forever, this pastor says, I held up an ugly-looking summer shirt that I wore occasionally around the house. I explained to the children that someone said the shirt was ugly and it should be thrown away. This really hurt me, I explained to the children. I'm having trouble forgiving the person who said those mean things. Do you think I should forgive that person? I asked the children. Immediately, my six-year-old daughter, Alicia, raised her hand. Yes, you should, she said without hesitation. But why? I said, why? The person really hurt my feelings. Why should I forgive? To which Alicia wisely answered, because you're married to her. And that's a lot of wisdom, isn't it? Forgive quickly because that's the only way we can have good relationships. Now, again, sometimes it doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes you have to work through things. But if we're going to believe the Bible, what we see is that every situation God wants to turn around for good. And God wants to use every difficulty as an opportunity for us to grow to be like him, for our relationships to be stronger, and to be the people of God that he wants us to be. So let me ask you as bluntly as I can. Is there anything in your life that you have not forgiven? Is there anything in your life where you have just settled the fact that I am not forgiving that person, I'm not letting it go? And I want to challenge you because you may have, I've met people who said, I have forgiven. They said the words, but the hurt in their heart is still there and they're holding on to it instead of giving it to God. Is there anybody you've not forgiven? Is there anybody that you're not working towards forgiving? Now, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes you will have to pray every day. Sometimes you have to pray multiple times. God, I forgive and I let it go and I give it to you. I forgive, I let it go, I give it to you. And it may take a long time, but you're working on it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those times when you say, that person hurt me too much, I refuse to forgive. Would you bow your heads? Is there anyone that you've refused to forgive? Is there anyone in any place you're holding on to hurt? It may be a long time ago. Maybe something you haven't even thought about. But God's bringing it to mind and you're wondering why it's coming up now. God will give you the ability to forgive and he'll set you free. All you have to do is turn to him. But if you refuse, you're walking away from him. If there's anybody that you still need to forgive, right now, would you say to God, God, I choose to forgive. I ask that you would give me the strength and the ability to let it go. I surrender it to you. Lord, this is hard, but we thank you that you have given us the promise of your Spirit to make it possible, Lord, to set us free. So today, God, I pray that you would set each person free that has prayed that prayer, and that for all of us, we would live this lifestyle of letting things go, forgiving and letting things go, and that we would experience a life with you that really is full of freedom as you design. As we continue through this week, God, if there's anything else in our hearts, in the depths of our hearts or our souls that you need to surface so that we can give it to you, please do that so that we can be the people of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.